Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's week 14 of the NFL. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz with you for the next 2 hours, getting you ready for hopefully the playoffs. If not, we'll take a look at a DFS and some wagering as well for those of you who may be on the outside looking in. George, good morning. How you doing?
How am I doing, you ask?
How am I doing?
Let me tell you how I'm doing, Dan.
Please.
Let me tell you how I'm doing. You know, Dan, my home league, you know, and let's face it, our home league is what we all care about generally the most. You know, we're playing against our friends, our family, coworkers, you know, the people you want to beat the crap out of in life, right? People you really want to destroy. Now, this home league of mine, Dan, Superflex League, 30-year league, you know, Superflex, it's points-based, not head-to-head points. And it's a deep league as we start 3 running backs and 4 wide receivers. Other than that, everything else is pretty standard there. I've had a monster lead all season, Dan. Monster lead all season. I mean, such a monster lead that at the trade deadline, this is a keeper league, 3 team, you keep 3 players. People always trade draft picks. Always trade draft picks. No one made a trade, Dan. For the first time in 30 years, next year will be a straight draft for everybody, which never happens. It's because, once again, no one really had a chance to catch me. Or at least it was highly unlikely. The only way I was going to get caught, Dan, was if the injury gods decided to get involved. The injury fantasy gods decided to get involved. And they weren't. You know, yeah, I had Darius Geis got hurt, Marshawn Lynch, Jack Doyle, all injuries I was able to overcome. I had extra draft picks going into the season. I was good. I was good, Dan. Had a really nice monster lead in a period of 72 freaking hours earlier this week. I lost A.J. Green. Granted, I sort of saw that one coming, but
yep.
James Conner, that one sucked. And granted, nobody who owns Le'Veon Bell feels bad for me at all. Yes, I did. Well, I'm not a Le'Veon Bell owner in that league. I picked him up before week one. You know, got him. So, no, I know no one feels bad. And then I lose Emmanuel Sanders in practice. Lose 3 players. 3 starters. You know, it's like, what the hell? Now, I imagine if you were giving odds of who's going to win this league, I'm probably not the favorite anymore. Because there is a team that's catching me that also had extra draft picks, who's also got a stacked team, who has no injuries. Not one player on his team has been hurt this season. I now have 7 guys on IR.
Well, it's, I mean, you hope the law of averages catches up this week, right? That's what you hope is that so the injury bug hits. You don't want to see anybody injured in the real NFL, but if that team were to lose some teammates to maybe a hangnail or appendicitis or something non-life-threatening, that would be fine. Listen, it's amazing how quickly things can turn. There is no real rhyme or reason to the injury. I mean, obviously, it's a brutal sport, and we know why people get injured. But when you draft a team, you have one here that has no injuries, and you have such a dearth, you know, of injuries that it's a rough go. But you'll find a way. I have a feeling, George, you'll find a way. I do want to ask, and I know our listeners want to follow up. How was the sleepover?
I survived.
Yeah.
Right. I survived. Now, sleepovers, it wasn't bad. You know, my wife and I could hear them shrieking at 4 or 5 in the morning, you know, yelling, whatever they were doing. I don't even care. My daughter said they were watching scary movies and playing hide-and-go-seek. I'm sure that went well. Plus, apparently, they were mad at all. They were afraid that I was going to come down and, I guess, sneak outside and frighten them because my wife had told them that she had asked me to go outside with a mask on and, like, knock on the window and scare them, which I would have done. But I don't have a mask. I don't rob banks here in my spare time here. Plus, it was cold outside, man. I'm not going out.
Right. I mean, you'd be in like a giant parka and a winter hat. You wouldn't be in a mask at that point. And I don't know that that's as scary. But good to hear. I do have to admit my 8-year-old is now asking for a sleepover for her ninth birthday. which is coming up in March, so I may have to call you for some earplugs or something to get through that. All dependent on us finishing our basement, though. So, I'm, as I said last week, I'm putting off that work as long as I can. We have plenty to talk about here. You already mentioned a good deal of the injuries that did seem to all hit you, but hit a ton of... I got to keep it real here. It's the Manny Sanders one, obviously, is rough from a... non-contact injury. The Achilles goes. He had been playing well enough. He had definite upside as week over week could be pushing wide receiver one, wide receiver two status on a fairly regular basis. What are you doing? What are you instructing listeners to do to try to stave off some of these injuries? Find guys on the waiver wire. Make moves to at least be. At least competitive here as they start the playoffs. Are there names that you like most? Are there specific guys that you're going after in every league you're in?
Not really specific, no. I think it depends on, obviously it depends on the league you're in, who's available here. Cortland Sutton could be available. He would be the most obvious choice there. But in the leagues I play in, he's been long gone. You know, I did look, not just in my home league, mind you, but in other leagues as well. I look to see who was available there, you know, now that... Denver's down here. Deshaun Hamilton, you'd have to be desperate for really to go after that. This is not really a throwing team. They got to try and win it with Philip Lindsay running the ball here. They are in the playoff hunt here, and they have a shot. And their schedule is not terrible, so that's what they'll try and do. Other players that could be out there on your roster, on your in your league, on your waiver wire, Michael Gallup on Dallas. He's someone I looked at. Dallas does have a nice passing schedule. The only problem is I keep writing about this week. I don't know if Dallas is going to coach to that schedule. And what I mean by that is I don't know if they're going to take advantage of the other team's weaknesses, the other team's defensive weaknesses. I think Dallas is going to continue with the recipe that's won games for them, Ezekiel Elliott, regardless of how a team plays. So because Philadelphia has no secondary, I don't think benefits Gallup. You know, and then Dallas has Indianapolis and Tampa Bay the next couple of weeks. Giants the week after that, if you play in week 17. So it's a nice passing schedule, but I don't know if Dallas will take advantage of it, but he's out there. Dante Pettis on San Fran playing Denver this week. Was an option, but, you know, now Marquise Goodwin's back. Pierre Garçon probably not. So he's not going to get quite as big a share load of those targets as he was. Zay Jones on Buffalo is hot all of a sudden, right? And, you know, Jets have had their issues all year long. He could be an option. Callaway on Cleveland. Weird guy, right? Drops a lot of touchdown passes. Fumbles at the one-yard line. Easy touchdowns. His fantasy owners, people started him last week. I mean, granted, you pulled him out of thin air and sort of. But, man, he cost you big-time points. Granted, the one touchdown that was overturned, not his fault, was a holding penalty. But the other one, I mean, he's going into the end zone, just drops, just fumbles it. Oh, bloop, nope, not gonna bring it in. That's frustrating here. You're not going Kelvin Benjamin yet, Kevin Benjamin. I know he signed with KC, but he's not going to play this week, or he does be a very, very, very minimal role here. He's someone you're going to look at in the future. If, by chance, Joe Flacco starts on Sunday, and there's a chance this could happen. It wouldn't shock me at all. Or he's going to play a bigger role. And then John Brown, Michael Crabtree comes in here, and they may have been released in your league due to what's been happening. Devontae Parker with Miami. You know, you laugh, but New England doesn't seem to be able to beat Miami in Miami, and Parker is getting some plays there. You're hoping for early a touchdown. If Adam Humphries happens to be available, or Godwin, that's a must claim right away. They shouldn't be, but that's someone you'll go after. Other than that, I think you're just going to have to I mean, like I said, there are a lot of guys there. I think I just named, what, 8, 9, 10 guys? Ross on Cincinnati. You know, the Williams brothers on Los Angeles, the Chargers. They're not brothers, I know. I just said that. Those guys are, you know, the bottom line is this. Out of everybody I just named, the volume is probably not going to be there for any of them, with the exception of maybe Sutton, if he's available. What you're going to need is that touchdown. You're going to need that touchdown. And guessing which one gets the touchdown, good luck. I mean, really, just good luck trying to figure that out.
Yeah, there is a lot out there, but it is a lot of touchdown-dependent activity on the waiver wire, just trying to figure out the best spots, and you're probably injuries now, and you're in the playoffs, you're streaming at this point. You're just trying to get the best matchup this week and hoping that you can make the move next week. Your opponent doesn't need a wide receiver or doesn't need a running back, and you're going to try to churn it from there if you're dealing with all these injuries. If you're not, cross those fingers. and knock on some wood that it doesn't happen to you as we roll forward here. In Week 14, byes are over. We have a full slate of games to run through here and want to make sure to get to that. As always, we are available for questions over there on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Of course, it's also at George Kurtz and at Dan Strafford. And we'll open up the phones again in hour number two, our second segment, as we roll towards 10 a.m. here on the East Coast. Thanks for everyone for joining us. We're happy to be here, bringing you some insight into Week 14 of the NFL. And George will break down each game along with some insight from myself as we roll through some fun ones this week and some ugly ones. You mentioned the Jets, and you said the Jets have... I think you said the Jets have had some trouble this season. You can just say the Jets have had some trouble, period. I mean, it's that simple.
The Jets suck. How about that?
Yeah. It's so true. It's so sad. It's so damn sad. All right. I'm over it.
Even Sean King, that's just low.
Amazing.
So it's like four words a show, and he's got a key in on the Jets, right? It's just, it hurts. It hurts. Hey. It's painful. I know.
You find pain in sports so often. Like we become these weird, you know, obsessed fanatics, obviously where the word fan comes from, of teams that break our heart. Like the ruined days we've talked about in the past. I've gotten a lot further away from sports ruining my days, but you know, late teens, early 20s, there were nights with the Yankees and Sundays with the Jets and Saturdays with Rutgers football that were pretty bad.
What was that?
I don't know, but I love it.
There?
I want more of that. More drops.
That's showing pain. There you go.
There you go. Let's start with the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills.
Good. Yeah. Let's keep the audience.
Let's get it out of the way. Well, let's get it out of the way. Sam Darnold supposedly starting. I don't know what sort of gamesmanship Todd Bowles is going with here, saying, yeah, he practiced, but that's a game time decision. Sure it is. All right. Like, if you're sitting him, why is he practicing? Like, why are you risking an injury on the practice field, let alone on the regular playing field? But you do have Josh Allen on the other side. I will say this, George, from a DFS perspective, I'm seeing a lot of people talk about Josh Allen. A lot of people talk about Josh Allen in cash because of his price tag, because of those Jets struggles you've talked about. They're 1-5 away from MetLife Stadium. Not much better at home. Only two wins there. But this is going to be an ugly game. This is going to be a game that I'm going to watch. But it's going to be an ugly game, one that obviously has its warts. But what do you think of Josh Allen here? What do you think of someone like Shady McCoy? You mentioned Zay Jones. It seems like there are at least some pieces here that are fantasy relevant heading into Week 14.
Well, yeah, I guess you could. First of all, Josh Allen, Dan, he's faster than I thought. I watched him last week versus Miami. Wow. I mean, a kick and run. I didn't see. I knew he was athletic. I knew he could move, but I didn't think he was that fast. He can run, so nice to see there. Other than that, I mean, really. I mentioned Zay Jones. Yeah, he could be a pickup. He is hot. All of a sudden, Jets have had issues in the secondary most of the season. Maybe hit a big play. I could certainly see that. Probably not banking on it, but yeah, I can see it if you're desperate. Yeah, I mentioned in my league, I pretty much was, but I still didn't go Zay Jones. But he's an option. Rather than that, it's LeSean McCoy. That's really it. Buffalo did beat up on the Jets earlier this year in a game that I don't think anybody's really saw coming. Two bad teams, but no one saw them. What, they went 41-7, something silly like that? The Jets are talking about revenge this week. Really? Revenge for what? Putting in a better draft spot? No. As for the Jets, I do believe Sam Darnold is going to quarterback. I don't think they have much of a choice here. They need to go back to this kid and get him back in there for the last four games. See him take that uptick. He's okay. He really is, but who are you starting here? Corral's got the toe injury, may or may not play. And with a toe injury, as you saw with A.J. Green, it's not as severe as Green, but it can flare up at any time. He's got to push off on that toe every play. Don't want to start Corral. That's where I'm going with this. I don't want to start Corral, and therefore I don't want to start anybody on the Jets tomorrow. You could go Elijah McGuire if Corral is out. You know, once again, every starting running back is going to have value here. McGuire would be the starter there, and he therefore would have value as at least a flex play in your league. Problem is, I don't expect a touchdown to come here. It'd be unlikely. But that's it. McGuire if Crowell is out. McCoy, sure. Zay Jones if desperate.
Whew, all right. Desperate times call for Zay Jones. Listen, I'm staying away from a DFS perspective. And as always, we'll talk about this in the final segment of the show. But as we go through, I can't pull the Josh McCown trigger here. I get that he's 4,400. Sorry, the Josh Allen here. How much is he? Actually, let me pull that up to get an accurate read on. I was looking at Josh McCown. Josh Allen is 5,500, even better. So that proves my point even more. 5,500 price point high enough here that I'm probably going to stay away, especially in tournaments if he's going to be high owned. There is a path to a nice floor with the running. I get it. So cash games, people are looking at him as they've looked to, you know, other running quarterbacks in the past, the Russell Wilsons or Cam Newtons, as viable floor options that you know you're getting a certain amount of points because they're going to rush the football. But a lot of his rushes are not necessarily designed, and I don't know that we're getting a specific taste of who and what this offense is going to be. So at 5,500, I'll stay away. Not saying he can't pay that off easily with some upside here against the Jets. I just don't love the matchup. Plenty to get to here on today's show. The line on this one, just to pass it along, is -4 in favor of Buffalo at 38.5. Over under Buffalo with an implied total of 21.25, Jets 17.25. George, any of those numbers enticing to you other than 0-0-0 on the scoreboard and this game being over?
You know, last time we would have thought this would have been an under game, right? And ended up being where Buffalo scored 41. This is the problem at this time of year as well. What if one team is given up here? You know, and it becomes a blowout again. So that's always an issue with when you're placing a wager on the money here. You're sort of hoping that both teams show up here. Bottom line is this. I like the DSTs, Buffalo DST and fantasy. I'm not touching this game as far as betting. I'm not waging the game.
Well, Carlos Santana may be on the move in Major League Baseball. We have Santana here. That's what matters. Coming back with more right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Straver, George Kurtz, Fantasy Sports Today.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Dan Straver, George Kurtz back with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. And we can drop the bass a little bit here. No, just kidding. Let's continue on, George. I always thought I could be like a Saturday night classic, you know, vibe DJ on one of those New York stations. It's just got to get that voice right, right? Like Cousin Brucey, you know, walking around that satellite provider. You got to meet him a couple times. You got to get that voice right. And he's made a cottage industry off of being a radio DJ, which is pretty darn impressive. Let's talk Panthers-Browns next, which I honestly believe is one of my favorite games of this weekend, George. There are a lot to like. There are good matchups across the board at the ones, fours, and onward. But this is a game that I think has some nice forward-facing implications for the Browns. The Panthers obviously trying to string wins together here and make a run towards the playoffs. Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey have been a dynamic duo. Beyond that, it's been sort of hit or miss on which wide receivers come through on any given week. You have Olsen in and out of the lineup with injuries. And then on the Browns side, you have Baker Mayfield coming off of, you know, his worst outing of the year. Looked awful. Interceptions did not look dangerous, only looked dangerous to his squad on last Sunday. But I feel like this might be a little bit of a bounce back spot for him and his wideouts. What do you got in this one? I see it at Carolina as -1 on the road. Yep, still minus one, open minus one. They're 24.25 implied total. The Browns at 23.5. Oh, it was a pick 'em to open. Sorry, 23.25 for the Browns implied total, 47.5 over under. Lots to like here, I think. What, how do you view this game?
This game is interesting. You're right. Let's start on the Carolina side. What's wrong with Cam? If you watched the game last week, he threw a Hail Mary, couldn't reach the end zone. The next the Hail Mary they got, they took him out. He didn't throw the last one. Heinicke did, which lets you know that that shoulder injury either is bothering him more than we thought or it peaked up in that game. He could not reach the end zone from the 50-yard line. For the 50. We're not talking 70 yards here. From the 50. That's you know, any NFL quarterback can make that throw. But he couldn't do it. So it's something to worry about. He did miss practice on Wednesday. Rivera sort of hinted that maybe he's not going to play. He is going to play. And I'm starting him. And that home league I mentioned where I'm getting screwed over, I'm still starting Cam Newton there. And I do have a good option, which would be Jameis Winston if I was worried about him. And I'm not. So I think you're starting Cam there. This team is in disarray. You know, they're firing people left and right, which really, I mean, think about it. You lost last week because Cam threw four interceptions. Your offense didn't play very well. Let's fire all the defensive players, defensive coaches. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, get rid of some special teams guys, too. Obviously, the problem is on the offensive side of the ball there, boys and girls, not the defense. So, strange. You start McCaffrey. DJ Moore is my number one wide receiver I want to start there. I like him much more than Funchess, who my mind is slow, plotting guy. I do think Funchess, though, might pick up. Earlier in the season when Greg Olsen was out, it was Funchess who got an uptick in targets because he's sort of the same kind of guy. He's built like a wide receiver, tight end. That's not great at running down the field here. So I wonder if that happens again this week. However, Ian Thomas is the guy you want as the tight end to fill that slot should you need, which I did need in a division as there were no tight ends available, and I lost Olsen, which is frustrating. So that's Ian Thomas. Christian McCaffrey is obvious. Cleveland, you're starting Chubb. Landry, and I think you and I talked about this last week. They say nagging injuries were the reasons why he was having problems. We had a good game last week, so maybe he's over them. Maybe Mayfield's looking for him more, whatever it might be. They're going to throw the ball, so I'm still starting Landry here. Njoku, tight end, every tight end who can breathe really has to start for you. The question is Callaway again. You know, he is that home run guy. He only needs one big play, Dan, to make your fantasy day. One big play will make it. You know, 60-yard touchdown pass, 6, 12, 1. That's 13 points right there. That's what you're looking for with Callaway. The volume won't be there, but they will take shots. They did it last week. You should have had two. So I'm liking Callaway a lot. If he's available and you need somebody, if you need that cover for Sanders or A.J. Green, there's no one else out there, I'm leaning Callaway here because I think at the very least you know he's going to get opportunities.
Yep, there are a lot of pieces here, and I think the Cam health is such a interesting and important narrative to the rest of the season for Carolina and for the run the Panthers might have through the playoffs. Obviously, if he stays in because of his feet and because of his gamesmanship, you know there's an injury there, kind of like when Mariota was dealing with the elbow to start the year. You obviously have an advantage from the opposing defensive coordinator. You know that he's not throwing downfield. You know that he's not able to make the deep throws, and that just changes your philosophy, which is already focused on the run with the Panthers, with Christian McCaffrey and Cam himself. So one to watch for sure, and one that I think I'll keep an eye on. It takes Cam off the board for me in a large majority at 6,300 on DraftKings in this matchup. I just don't see it as necessary even in cash games, where you feel like the legs give you a little bit more lift on a regular basis. I just see it as probably moving away from him and towards, I would prefer Josh Allen over Cam here, just simply from the health and from what I think is a little bit more upside for Josh Allen. Let's keep rolling here. Lots of games to get to with a full slate on tap in front of us as we go into week 14. Another fun one, and simply because I don't know who the hell is showing up. Falcons at Packers. This is a game that's going to be played in sub-freezing temperatures. I went Celsius on us there for a second. Sub-freezing temperatures at 27 degrees in Lambeau Field. There's enough to be talked about of a dome team going to play in the cold and all of those things that people like to come up with as narratives, and I get it. Guys who live in Atlanta may, you know, not be as good in the cold as others, but again, I get the narrative, and yes, there is some math to show that teams from domes or teams from warm weather going to cold weather struggle a little bit more, but these are players who have grown up all over the country. It's not like they go to Atlanta and they immediately absorb all things of that environment and can only operate in the Miami, you know, or Atlanta or Los Angeles. These guys played in college in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and these different leagues that have cold weather. So I'm not buying that so much. But, George, we got an Atlanta team that is out. We got a Packers team that is out. We got Mike McCarthy is gone. We have two teams that could be looking to salvage some pride because there are two teams that have been in the playoffs. You have Matt Ryan, you have Aaron Rodgers, MVPs between them, or two teams that have completely quit and just are running out the string and hoping to not get injured. I love this game from a fantasy piece perspective. I think from a DFS perspective, there's going to be a lot of goodness here. Aaron Jones, Rodgers on the other side with the wide receivers. What do you got here? Is this one that you think will influence playoff games for season long, or do you see these as two teams that have widely given up?
Well, that's the problem, right? That's the rub. You really don't know what you're going to get with the Packers. Just fired McCarthy. Rodgers taking some heat this week for being half his fault because he's been doing things he shouldn't be doing. This is the coldest game of the day tomorrow, 24 degrees at the high, and it's also the biggest wind, 12 miles an hour. So it's going to be cold. It's going to feel in the teens. So I think there is something to this year. I probably wouldn't worry about this early. If both teams were in the playoff hunt, sure. You know, I think you get a good game here. But now both teams are, you don't know who's showing up to play and who's not. And you bring up the college stuff, and that's true. But in college, you're always playing for something because you're playing to get into the NFL. Once you're in the NFL, you should be playing because you're on film and you're playing for that contract, but just not the way it works. So you just don't know what you're going to get. That being said, both defenses are poor. I mean, you're starting Rodgers. You're probably starting Ryan. You could have other options than Ryan. It could happen, but you're probably starting him. I mean, I want to start Tevin Coleman in this game. Once again, I think they're going to try and run the ball a little bit, but he's been terrible. I mean, he's just been terrible. There's really no other way around that since Devonta Freeman left. And that's strange because this is not a backup running back. I mean, Coleman was drafted in pretty much round 6 to 8 in most fantasy leagues. That's where his ADP was. He was drafted as a guy you could, at the very least, start during bye weeks. And in PPR leagues, maybe even if you were weak at running back without the byes. And he's just been terrible. But I'm still, because of it, you just probably don't have enough anyway. Want to go with him here. Julio Jones, of course, goes here. Sanu, Ridley, it really depends on what else you have. For the Packers, obviously it's Davante Adams. Hopefully, Philbin doesn't make the mistake that McCarthy made last week and split the reps again between Jones and Williams. So I think you're going with that. Aaron Jones should be back to normal here. And that's it. Jimmy Graham, once again, probably has to know of a tight ends. I'm not going MVS. You know, I'm not going to take that. Randall Cobb, man, if I'm desperate at a wide receiver, I suppose you could talk me into it. But he's not someone I'm looking at either. But I am concerned somewhat that some of these players will have checked out.
Yeah, I think you have to be. I think, and to your point, it's just hard to project. It's hard to make the choice of exactly who you believe is bought in and who you believe is going to be out. I think you make a great point on the running backs here as well. I'll have some Aaron Jones, 7,200. Just I hope that everything points towards a big game from him. And I'm going to play some Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to play the pride narrative and the home narrative in the cold against the bad defense. So I think that Rodgers will be a big part of what I'm doing. He's at 6K. He's 300 less than Cam. I don't know I'm playing Rodgers necessarily in cash games, but I guess he has to be at least on the table for me because I haven't found anybody else that I'm really completely comfortable with there. We roll on here to our next game, trying to power through, make sure we get to everything with the full slate. We have Ravens and Chiefs. Another good one. Now, this is probably Mahomes' worst matchup of the year, but this is where, to use a bad cliche, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Where we see how good Patrick Mahomes really is and how good this Baltimore pass defense is, because it's going to be two really solid opposing teams on offense and defense here that have opportunities to show the other one how good they actually are. You have the Chiefs implied total at 28.5. It's dropped from 30.25. The Ravens at 22.5, a 51 over under. We have the news here that Sammy Watkins is out. He's out 4 to 6 weeks last I saw. You do have the Kelvin Benjamin signing, but everything I saw, like you said before, George, is that he's out, that he's not going to be suited up this weekend. Even if he is suited up, it's to be wearing the jersey, not much beyond that. How do you see this one breaking down? Do you have a take on who wins this one, on the over-under, on the spread? And then further, what pieces do you think are viable with this an interesting offense-defense matchup?
Well, it's another cold one, 25 degrees, not much wind, though, so that shouldn't be a problem there. Kansas City is one of the worst teams against the run in the NFL, but assuming it's Lamar Jackson, a quarterback, they're going to play the run. Right, I think it'll be they'll go one on one with Brown and Crabtree on the outside, seeing if testing, see if Jackson can hit them, and I don't know if he can. I think it'll be a heavy run game for Gus Edwards and Jackson until Kansas City starts to score. You know, they rail up a couple of touchdowns, and it's going to be a much different game here. It is interesting because you're sort of right. It's the defense against the offense. Generally, I believe in these situations, four of the last five times the offense has won. So I'll bank on the Chiefs here, especially at home. But I think you see the Ravens trying, run, kill clock. Run, kill clock. And hopefully get a couple scores here, get a couple of big plays, get a couple of defensive plays here, and keep you in the game. I think that's what you're hoping for here. You're gonna start Gus Edwards, of course, but I think he's on the lower end of running back twos this week because, once again, I think in the second half, once they're trailing, you know, he's going to need that touchdown to really have a big day. I think he'll have a solid day, but he'll need a touchdown of a big day. Not going with any of the running backs. Lamar Jackson's not in my top 12 this week either because the buys are over. We have our full complement of quarterbacks. I assume he can do better here, and there is some worry that Joe Flacco does get in this game somehow, somewhere. Not that he starts it. That'll be Jackson, but that, let's say they're down 21-7. They also they put Flacco in there because he can throw the ball down the field. Something Lamar Jackson can't do yet. So that's a worry there. As for the Chiefs, you mentioned it. All right, so we finally get some clarity on Watkins, sort of. And then Reed said he's just doubtful for this week. I'm not even, you know, he's probably out into the playoffs. So you know what's going on there. You're starting where? Once again, not a great matchup. Low-end running back two again. Ravens good defense. You're certainly starting Tyreek Hill. I know you had a bummer last week for you. What are you going to do? It's life. You're still going back to me. You're definitely starting Kelce. You're definitely starting Mahomes. It really comes down to, do you want to start Conley? You know, do you want to start him because of the injury to Watkins? And my answer is probably not. I think under a better circumstance with a better matchup, yeah, we consider this. And Conley might be that consideration to start over one of those injured wide receivers, Green, Sanders, absolutely. But not a good matchup here. I think I'll stay away. Another guy who's likely to need a touchdown to pay off fantasy-wise.
It's amazing to see. Obviously, we've talked about the Chiefs all season long and their great year. They are 10-2, right? So right behind them is the Chargers. Probably not talked about enough. And we've mentioned the Chargers a few different times on the show, and we've made sure to give them fantasy praise. But this may be the best Chargers team we've seen in a long time. And because of the Chiefs, and because of them playing out west, and yes, my East Coast bias is showing here, but it's amazing that this Chargers team is one game out in the AFC West. They are tied for the second best record in the AFC with the Patriots behind the Chiefs. A Chiefs loss and a Chargers win, you know, kind of flips things upside down. It almost seemed like a foregone conclusion that the Chiefs would be the one seed in the AFC, but all of a sudden, things change just a tiny bit, and you get how this is breaking down. For the Ravens, they're 7-5. They're a half game behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, atop the AFC North. They are fighting for their playoff lives here. So Joe Flacco's sighting would not surprise me. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's a hip injury, and you hear in baseball all the time about pitchers clearing their hips, right, and batters clearing their hips to use the body. That's a lot of throwing a football. Is that plant foot and opening up the body and shifting the hips around to throw downfield? I am not a doctor, but everything I've read has said it's a struggle for him, and he's getting back into the groove of things. But what Joe Flacco do we even get? So I like the Kansas City pieces here. I agree with you. I think the offense wins out. I don't want to get away from them just because. I do want to remind everyone, George made a great point. If Baltimore gets down 21-7, I'm a Gus Edwards fan. I'll mention again that he, you know, was at Rutgers for a while. But he has zero targets throughout his run here with the Ravens. Zero. Like, there is not even a, hey, let's run him out in the flat. And it has been no pass attempts to him. And that concerns me in this matchup. I get in season long, hey, as you said, George, starting running back, you got to have him out there. You hope he scores a TD. But this is intriguing from how a game flow goes, how this all pieces together. I think Edwards might disappoint more than you think this week. I do love Spencer Ware. From a bounce back perspective, I know that the matchup's not great, but it seems like a low ownership spot where people will be off because of the bad process last week of having a down game in what everyone, what I think 60% owned or 70% owned DFS. I think that this is an interesting spot to go back to him as we continue on. We have a lot to get to here on the show. We are coming up to a break here. On the other side, we'll talk about the Patriots and Dolphins, Saints, Buccaneers, and Giants and Redskins as we roll through week 14 in the National Football League, getting you ready, hopefully, for playoff matchups in your season-long league. And of course, we are starting to talk some DFS throughout the show, taking your calls in segment number two of our number two. That phone number is 844-843-6879. Ask us questions over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. And of course, you can talk to George and I at Dan Stafford, at George Kurtz. Plenty still to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today on none other than the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Roll on here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Stafford, George Kurtz, Sean Engel on the ones and twos producing for us today behind the glass. Appreciate him as always. Don't forget to stay tuned throughout the morning. You do have lots of great programming here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network and the Fantasy Sports Network throughout the day. So don't miss out there. And don't forget, you can find George pretty much every day, all day, across the network and over there on rotoexperts.com. Let's keep churning here, George, as we take a look at the Patriots and the Dolphins. The Pats minus 9.5. The rumors of Tom Brady's death were widely exaggerated. The Pats are 9-3. They will once again win the AFC East in a walkover as they are 6-0 at home, 3-3 away, though. So maybe a small wart there as they head towards the playoffs. And I guess the narrative will come out that they are home dependent and they need to get home field advantage as much as possible so that you're going to look for them to win out. Well, they just want to win as many games as possible. But you made mention this is a narrative game of sorts that the Pats usually do struggle here in Miami for one reason or another. I don't think it's environmental. Maybe they all go out Saturday night partying out on South Beach and just can't figure it out by Sunday morning. But what do you got here? This seems like a spot where we could have some upside for one or two pieces from Miami. I wouldn't see a big day for them, but what do you got? How do you see this one shaking out?
It is strange how New England doesn't play well in Miami. It's the heat. You know, they used to call it cold. They're going out to the heat, and they don't handle it well. And it's going to be warm in Miami tomorrow, 81. So that issue could pop up again. And once again, New England just hasn't hit on its all cylinders, or really all season. And you mentioned they have road woes as well, not playing well on the road here. So it's enough where, betting-wise, I won't be betting it. No, I just can't. There's enough numbers there to tell us that this is just a bad spot for the Patriots, and I'm not laying 7.5 points. I'm not taking 7.5 either. You know, I'm not going to go with the Miami Dolphins. I don't trust this team at all. I think this team sucks, and somehow they've managed to win six games. Really, I think this team's, I don't know if they got a horseshoe up their butt or, you know, they made a deal with the devil or whatever it is, but there's no way I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. Fantasy-wise, redraft leagues, what are you looking at? I have Tom Brady back in my top 12. I do. But it's barely, and I don't trust him. I just don't trust him. This hasn't really doesn't look. He looked good last week. Looked more spry last week. But overall, it's looked so-so. And on the road here, no, thank you. The running games. I know I'm getting so many questions about the running backs, especially James White. Now that Rex Burkhead's back, yeah, I get it. You know, and Burkhead's the one who I'm definitely not starting anywhere. White, I probably am. He's in my top 20. He's in my running back two PPR leagues, of course. So I'm interested in Michelle, obviously. Edelman, you're starting. Gronk, you just don't have a choice, although I don't expect maybe he gets a touchdown if you're lucky, but that's about it there. The volume won't be there. And now that Xavier Howard's out, Josh Gordon's a must-go here. I think Miami could be in trouble here. I think Brady should be looking to take advantage of that. Howard, who really no one's heard of, was a fantastic corner this year, but he's out. So I think this is the game you want to go with the New England wide receivers. As for Miami, listen, you're going to start Kenyon Drake? Fine. I think he's the best running back there, but they don't use him enough. And they're using him more in the passing game than they are in the run game right now. But still, I don't really have an issue with it. And then it comes down to Devontae Parker. You're going to need that big play again. He's not quite Callaway. There'll be more volume for him. And New England does have issues at times in their secondary, but Parker would be a gamble to go with. Bottom line is I don't trust Tannehill either. You know, and not in one little bit. I know talking with Dane, the spitting statistician, he thinks Tannehill ends up on, I think it was the Giants next year. He was revolving quarterbacks go. And I don't know if he ends up on the Giants. I do agree that he's out of Miami. And they'll move on here and try and get another franchise quarterback, which then again, they've won too many games to get one of those top 10 picks. So it's going to be difficult for Miami. But Parker, I can see, once again, you lost Sanders, you lost Green. Beggars can't be choosers, right? We got to go with somebody. I can see Parker.
I can see it as well, and I don't know that it is a probable outcome, but it's a possible one that he has a decent two big game here. On Gronkowski, he's acknowledged that it's not been a great year. He has been fully removed from the injury report heading into Sunday with the ankle and back issues. I really, really wonder what's going to happen here because he is down to 4,800 on DraftKings. He's down to 4,800, and I think that is the cheapest he has ever been, ever, in his entire career. And you're talking about being cheaper than George Kittle and Jared Cook and just a little bit more than Jordan Reed and Jimmy Graham. And from a production standpoint, it makes total sense. But Kelsey's at 6,700, Ertz is at 6,400. If healthy and if targeted, Gronkowski has as much, if not more, upside than both of those tight ends. And so, from a DFS perspective specifically, I think that you have to have Gronkowski in your player pool and even a little bit favored here at 4,800. If he gets a volume of targets, 8 to 10, he could pay that off in a gigantic fashion. I think George is right. From a season long, you're playing him sort of begrudgingly because you've seen that the results haven't been there. But I do think if you're playing multiple lineups over there on DraftKings, I haven't checked this FanDuel price, but he has to be part of your consideration as you go through and try to figure out the best optimal lineup for tournaments. Cash games, I'd probably rather have a Kittle here just because of the volume he's seeing and how much of a key part of that offense he is, and a home game against Denver should be a pretty high upside for Kittle at 5,500. But let's roll.
Dan, Dan,
go ahead.
When it comes to Gronk, I'd let you know how my mind works. You know, he reminds me of somebody like, picture, you know, when you're the old gold mine times, when you're, and there's a movie I'm thinking of, I think it's Pale Rider, actually, with Clint Eastwood, where they're pounding on this big boulder over and over again because they think gold's underneath it. And Gronk is the boulder. And the, you know, the boulder's holding strong through all the pounding. No problem. No problem. But finally, the boulder gives way. You know, and that's what Gronk's starting to think reminds me of. He was that boulder. But now that boulder's given way. He's not the same player anymore. The pounding over the years, the injuries over the years have just taken their toll. Now, I'm not saying don't start him tomorrow. You already said it. You likely have no choice. I don't have a choice in the league. But even in that game against the Jets where he had the touchdown, had the one big play, that was it. He had three catches that game. That's it. You know, the volume just is there. Brady wants to throw to him, but he's not open anymore. He can't separate anymore. Now he just has to use his size to, you know, go up and get the ball. And even has trouble jumping as well. So I just think maybe he gets better next season. Maybe an offseason arrest will help. But as far as this year, I think in games, you better hope he gets his fantasy production in the first quarter where he's still fresh. Because once those hits add up, he's going to have a hard time.
It is something to monitor, and you make a good point of over his career. He is 29. You know, it's not like he's still 26 out there. He's 29 and has had a great deal of problems in the health department. So I think George makes a really good point. Just over time, that body's going to break down. You're as big as he is and get hit as much as he does. It's going to be a slow deterioration. We may see a little bit of a speeding up of that as we watch this season, but I will have some wonderful, wonderful shares of him in DFS this week, and hope for the best, hope for the upside against the Miami Dolphins. Let's continue on to our next game. I believe one of our higher, I think it is the highest over-under, if I remember correctly. 54 is the over-under I'm seeing currently on the Saints and Buccaneers. This obviously has all the makings of a high offensive upside game. The Bucs with Jameis Winston under center. You have a few pieces on injury watch that could open up some plays for others. And then the Saints side, you obviously have all the pieces outside the dome, though, so you have to make the decision on how you feel about that. There is warm weather and some potential rain in this matchup. Could dampen some of the passes as well. George, all systems go here, or do you see matchups that you don't particularly like for any of the offensive pieces here?
Well, first off, I'm getting a ton of questions about this game. People are freaking out about Winston because of the rain. You know, I had someone tell me yesterday it's supposed to monsoon through the entire game here. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing light rain, like you said. 73 light rain, wind 11 miles an hour. So listen, light rain, most quarterbacks can play through, can throw through light rain. There are some quarterbacks who couldn't. I mean, Troy Aikman, as far for one, was a quarterback who didn't like throwing the ball in the rain. And there are the quarterbacks, of course, the same way. If they have smaller hands, this is where hand size always comes in at the combine that we always hear about. Now, I don't know if Winston's one of those quarterbacks or not. I don't. But the fact that we don't is probably a good sign. Because we, I think we'd know about it if he was. Same thing with Drew Brees. I probably worry about Brees more than I do Winston as far as the hand size thing. So I think we're okay here. I do. So I'm not really freaking out about this. I'm starting with my normal guys. I mean, this, for the Saints, it's really just two guys you think about as far as fantasy decisions: Ben Watson and anyone other than Michael Thomas in the receiving game. You know, and I know it's the Buccaneers. You know, Dan, I know their secondary has been horrible. And maybe you want to start a Kirkwood, you know, maybe Brandon Marshall, somebody gets in there. I can't do it. It's just too much of a gamble here. And sometimes Sean Payton likes to prove how smart he is and hit guys we've never, ever heard of. So I'm not going there. As for Ben Watson, I can see it. Once again, he's out there. You're an Olsen owner. Once he's there, passing heavy offense, I don't have an issue with it. As for the Buccaneers, this may not be a great week. You know, the New Orleans Saints are very good against the tight end. They have not allowed double digits to a fantasy tight end all season long. And Brady hasn't been really the target we thought he'd be with Winston. So, man, probably not the game for him here. DeSean Jackson's out. Godwin's in for me. You know, Humphreys is in for me. Of course, Mike Evans is. The running game with Barber, if you can do better, great. I assume you can. If you can do better, I'd rather not start Barber. But I assume you can. Once again, starting running back healthy, blah, blah, blah. He has to go here. So, like I said, bottom line is the rain. It's in the back of my mind. It is, but I'm not really going to change anything because of it.
I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to love watching this game and hope for big scores. Like, this is one of those where I don't really care about defense at all. I just want all the big pass plays and to see Alvin Kamara do his thing. So I'm hoping that the weather doesn't dampen that. I'm not seeing torrential downpours, like much the same. I love a website called darksky.net. It's also an app that you can use to, in New York especially, basically see if it's raining right now. Like when you go, if you work in an office building, go grab lunch. It's a great one to look and see if you're in a cubicle with no windows. You can see if it's raining, if you need to bring the umbrella before you step outside. But I'm seeing a band of rain that's heavy at times, but not anything crazy. I'm not seeing a ton of wind either 9 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour wind. So I don't see a huge problem here for either quarterback. From a DFS perspective, these are all going to be player pool players. They're going to be mixing matches and seeing what salaries fit and seeing if you can't get some upside from some of those secondary receivers from Tampa Bay, who I think have obviously high ownership in this one when you talk about Godwin and Humphreys. But they're the same price on DraftKings, so choose wisely. Choose wisely, because you know one of them is going to have a big game. The other one is not, simply because of how Murphy's Law works out here. And Cam Brate does make for an option, at least at tight end at 3,500, as we look through. And again, we'll summarize all.
What people need to realize about the rain is that when it comes to the rain, offensive players know where they're going. It's generally a benefit for the offense. Receivers know the route they're running. You know, it's defenders that might slip, might fall, might be another half step behind because of the rain. And that's why I don't panic about it unless it's monsooning or the wind is up there. And the wind at 10 miles an hour really shouldn't be an issue either. That's not windy. When it comes to wind, when it's above 20, that's when I start to panic.
I've seen studies and math equations on wind, and I think it's 22 miles an hour and above is where you see a stark contrast. And I know that's a very specific number, but based on results, you see a stark contrast in completion percentages and missed wide receivers, missed passes. So if you're talking 10 to 12 mile an hour winds with 14 to 50 mile wind gusts, I don't think it's going to greatly influence what's happening on the football field. We have a ton of games still to get to as we roll through. Try to squeeze one more in here, and that's the Giants and Redskins. Yuck. Is that a proper analysis of this game? It's Eli Manning versus Mark Sanchez. Fantastic. Did you see, George, perhaps the post-game press conference where a reporter asked Sanchez about the butt fumble?
You know, get over it, folks.
Well, yeah, and I'm obviously a Jets fan. I was a Sanchez fan when he was with the team. I thought he did what he needed to do. He had some bad games, and Rex Ryan was a bad coach at times. But if you haven't seen it, he just does a great job of having some fun with the reporter, having some, you know, obvious grace in the fact that he knows it's out there. He wishes it wasn't something he was known for, but he wants to talk about other things. But it's a funny press conference and a job well done by Sanchez of adeptly sort of answering the question, but moving on from it. What do you got here? Barkley and Odell go, obviously, from the Redskins side. I don't know that I trust any of their offensive pieces, even though I'd like to. It's a 41 or 40.5 over-under with the Giants slightly favored, I believe. What do you got? Any pieces here that you think can win somebody a Week 14 matchup?
You know, as for the butt fumble, it was funny when it happened. It certainly was. But my God, how many years ago was this? And you're asking about him after a game? What are you doing here? That's not professional in my mind. That's just, you want to talk about during the week when you're interviewing him? Fine. What does that have anything to do with the game? Yeah, really, I think I just want a reporter looking to start trouble there. So I thought that was very unprofessional. As for the game itself, you're starting Barkley, you're starting Beckham, right? That's pretty much easy here. I don't know if you're starting anybody else on the Giants here. I don't. Shepard, I guess Ingram. Ingram will almost definitely be a no, but once again, you're in tight end hell. Maybe it's a yes. The problem with you know, the Redskins have a decent defense. They do. Haven't played as well of late, but they have a decent defense. So that's why I'm not high on anyone other than the monsters from the Giants. As for the Redskins, I mean, really, who do you want? There's no receiver starting, right? Forget Doxson. Forget Crowder. It is Sanchez. The offensive line is literally, it's in shambles. It's like they just went to, you know, your local Stop and Shop. Oh, there's a big guy. Can you play offensive line? Signs. Right? I mean, they're losing guys left and right, Dan. I'm a Cowboy fan. I hate the Redskins, right? But, hey, they're getting screwed. My God. It's the hardest thing in the NFL when you get – injuries are a part of life. But when you get hurt at the same position over and over and over again, that's what kills an NFL team because nobody has that kind of depth. Nobody. So the Redskins are getting screwed there. I don't know if they can protect Sanchez. I don't know if they can open up any lanes for Adrian Peterson. Once again, you're likely – to have to start Adrian Peterson, because I don't know if you can do better on your team, but you will certainly need. You saw it Monday night. He got the 90-yard touchdown. He didn't break 100 yards. Think about that. That's crazy. You know, and you likely need the same thing here. You're going to need that touchdown deodorant, or else the numbers won't be there for Adrian. They just won't be. If Chris Thompson could have a nice game with passes out of the backfield, I would probably want to start him over Adrian Peterson. So that's my issue there. Jordan Reed, once again, tight end, you probably have no choice. And I expect Sanchez to look close to the line of scrimmage to throw to his tight end.
You'd hope so. You hope that that's where he goes. The Giants on the year are 25th in DVOA against the pass, 17th against the rush. Not a great defense. You mentioned Chris Thompson. That was the one name here that stood out to me from the Washington Redskins offense. And I think Jordan Reed is a good point as well. Could have some upside, and you hope he has some upside as they construct Well, it's probably just a ball control offense with a lot of Adrian Peterson probably rushing like 24 times for 73 yards. It's going to be an ugly, ugly game. Plenty still to get to, though, here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Trapp, George Kurtz, second segment of next hour. We're going to open up the phones, 844-843-6879. Be sure to stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.